guys. Welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon Podcast. This is Lossie and I will be your host. How are you doing today? I hope you're having a wonderful day and a wonderful week and a wonderful month and a wonderful everything. I am doing good today. I am sitting in a sunbeam with my cats, feeling good. I love winter sunshine. You know, like when it's really cold but it's really sunny and the sun just like streams through the windows. So good. I love that. I love just laying in that sunbeam because it feels really good. Here's my little update part, isn't it? So I'm gonna do that. So thank you so much. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much to everyone who has been booking readings recently and ordering through the shop. That has been helping us so much. I can't even tell you. We've been getting, you know, quite a few deck orders, which is really nice. And I just love seeing my decks go into the Lord anyway, just because I love, like, I always feel like I'm going on, like, a little worldly adventure with them. Like there's, like, a tiny Lottie that's, like, setting off with them, and they, like, go to all these different places. It's so, like, nice to see that. But also just because, you know, monetarily, it really helps support us as well. If you've been following along on here or even just on Instagram, you've probably seen that, you know, we've been having kind of a tough... It's been a tough couple months, to be honest, but this past month especially has been real tough for us money-wise. We've just had a conflagration of things happen all at once, and, you know, it's life, it happens, and we're alive, and we have heat in our house and water and all of those good things, so we're doing okay, but it was hard for a minute there. And y'all really helped us and supported us, and also we've had, you know, help and support from our folks and things, which is really nice. And so, yeah, we had to repair something in our car yesterday, so we were really badly in overdraft, managed to get ourselves out of it, or at least with help from other people, helped get us out of it, basically. And then, so we were out for like a minute, and then we had to repair our car, so now we're back in it again, but now we're getting some help with that as well, so it's not quite as like scary as it was. Like, it really was super stressful for a minute there, and I like to try and be honest about that kind of thing, you know, and be transparent, so yeah, I hope y'all don't mind me sharing that with y'all. But, yeah, so our car was kind of acting up anyway, but we had it, like, diagnosed, is that the right word? That's basically what it was. And they had told us, like, whatever was happening wasn't damaging our car, it was just kind of annoying, really, so we had to put it off, because we just could not afford to fix it. And then finally we kind of got enough to be able to fix it, and then we're getting some help with it as well, but it's put us back into overdraft. So it was like, for like a minute we were like, take a breath, and then, you know, kind of like go back to it. But yeah, I feel more optimistic than I did, and I'm a naturally optimistic person, so I hate feeling stressed about that kind of thing and like getting down in my own head about it, because I'm like, no, I want to believe, you know, I really want to have like faith and trust that the universe is going to help, like, and trust that this is going to be okay, you know. But I admit it was a little hard for a minute there, but we are doing better. Our kitty that has been sick, he's feeling better now, which is great. He had such a bad cold and he had an eye infection, and it was just like so sad, but he's feeling better now. Our other kitty has caught the cold, but she is younger, so she's like fighting it off like a champ. She's sneezy but doesn't seem bothered about it in any other way, and she's still running around like a whirlwind playing, so we're not, you know, too concerned. I've done some research on it as well, and you probably just heard her sneeze right then. She's doing okay. And yeah, our house is just chock full of cats right now, because you probably hear them playing in the background. We are fostering a cat right now that we rescued, trying to get him reunited with his owner or find a new home for him. Because four cats is just a little too much for us, especially being that two of those cats are young and then two of them are old. So one of them is like middle-aged cat man and then the other is like seven. So yeah, four cats is a lot, y'all, but we're doing okay. And yeah, so I think I shared pictures of him, our foster, online. He's so cute. So yeah, that's what's going on with that. Did I already say thank you to the folks who have bought stuff online? I'm gonna say it again just in case I didn't, because I'm really, really grateful to you for all of your support and help, and also for purchasing things through the Etsy shop. That really, really helps, and it's always exciting to me as well, like, when I get an order, I'm like, ooh, like, what is it, you know, like, do I get to send a deck out, or I get to do a reading for someone and connect with your energy, and it's just so nice, and just whatever it is, it's always, like, it's so exciting to me, and I just feel so grateful, because for one, I just love doing that work, and for two, I love when a deck sells, because it's like I always feel like I'm going off on an adventure with my deck, like out into the world to like see these different places. So thank you for that, and also just monetarily it really helps to support us and helps us with these like vet bills that we've had and all of the things that were going on. So thank you so much for that, and thank you to everyone who's been coming for readings. I know this time of year is at the Four of Wands. Just readings anywhere, because I know this time of year it's like holidays and people are, you know, you're trying to buy for other people and spend your money like that and all of that. So I completely understand why it's kind of a quiet time of year for readings. But still, I really appreciate everyone who has been still coming for them, because this is my life. Like, I'm a professional reader, professional, you know, psychic, intuitive, whatever you want to call it, full time, all the time. So like this is how I make money, this is how I live and contribute to our household. So it's really, I'm really grateful that people keep, you know, giving me the opportunity to do this work. So with all that said, I want to quickly talk about a few new things in the shop, and then a few new things that are coming up in the shop as well. And also a service that I will have available at the Four of Wands. So, in the shop, a new thing that I'm really excited about in the Etsy shop is my soul portraits, soul energy portraits. And basically what that is this is something that I have wanted to be able to create and put out into the world for a really long time, and I'm really excited because I finally figured out how to do it in a way that I like it. So for me, because one of my abilities is clairvoyance, I see things, so, and I can see someone's energy, and the way I see it is I kind of compare it to like an aura photograph, because that's kind of what it looks like to me. But basically what I'm doing is I'm looking at someone's energy on the spirit plane. So it's like I'm looking at your spirit, or I'm looking at your soul in a way. And I see it as colours in different places, and like they're swirling or they're moving in different directions, different colours. They look different, they move in different ways. And so I love being able to see that and explain it to people and share that with people, like, this is what you are, this is your pure energy, and it's so like gorgeous and radiant and beautiful, and like I just always want to be able to show that to people, because it's like if you could see the way that you look, like the body is just is our body is, and I completely am for like integrating with our body and not ignoring the body in spirituality, but like the body is our vessel, but our spirit, our soul is like this light, and it's like this energy that moves, and it's so beautiful. And I've always wanted to be able to kind of like take what I see in my head and beam it into someone else's head, and I finally figured out a way to kind of do that. So what I'm doing with these soul portraits is creating a a portrait of your energy, and I do that through a digital painting. And so I see what I see, and then I create a digital painting that looks like that energy. And then I also animate it. So this is the thing that I'm super, super excited about, is that for me, the thing that makes seeing energy so amazing, and the thing that I've always wanted to really get across to people, is like, not just a static image, but like, what does this look like moving around? Because our energy isn't static, it moves, and it kind of like ebbs, and it's like this nebulous, almost kind of, like, I'm moving my hands as I'm saying this because it's so hard to describe, but it shifts, it moves, it's not static. And I've always wanted to be able to express that and show that to people, like, this is what it really looks like to see you in front of me. And I've found this way that I can animate these portraits, to make these like 6-second animations where the portrait moves, and then I'm able to like make different parts of it move in different ways, so that it spins, or it like, or more like it rotates, or it kind of like pulses outwards or inwards, or like I can do all of these things with it. And really, I'm like so excited about it because I've wanted to do this for so long. Like, doing my spirit guide portraits that I do is one way that I get to do that, is that I get to take the image in my mind and get as close as I can to it and show that to someone else. But there's still something about like being able to do these portraits and that I can make them move, that to me is just like next level, so exciting to be able to share that. And so with this new offering that's in the shop, this the spirit, the soul portrait, it's like an aura portrait basically, I create an image for you of your unique energy, so what your soul, what your spirit looks like. I create a 6-second animation of it so you can see it move. And then I also do a, I think it's 15 or 20 minute reading, recorded reading, to explain to you what I see, how your energy moves, what that means, like what the messages are that I'm getting for it, and all of that for you. So yeah, that is in the shop. I'm super excited about it. And I would love to do more of those. So if you're interested, please do check that out. Other things. I am going to be putting up a few other listings. I want to bring back doing the bundle for the decks. I need to work that out. And I want to do like a reading bundle as well. So like every like a bundle for a reading every month, for, you know, or every 3 months or something like that, so that there's these bundles that you can order it, and then it's like set in your diary that you're going to receive a reading from me every however many months it is. And then another one that I'm really excited about is that I am going to start offering bark flower remedy blends in the shop that will come with a reading. So basically what that will be that I will do a reading for you, kind of figure out where we need to focus, where what we need to look at, and you can ask a question for that, like what would help me in this area, or you can just let me kind of get information on what's coming through, and then I will intuitively create this buckler remedy blend for you and then mail it to you. So it'll be like a physical thing and a reading, and I'm really excited about that. The bark flower remedy blending is also a service that I'm offering at the Four of Wands. I don't make the blend there, so basically what happens is you come in, have a reading, and then if you're interested in the bark flower remedy, we talk about that during that reading, and then you come back the next week and I will bring the blend for you. So I do want to point out that they're two separate things. So when you pay for the reading, that's not also paying for the blend. The blend and like providing it and all of that is $30. So that's just for the time of researching it and the time of making it and the resources for, you know, like buying everything and and all of that, and they're bringing it in and things. So it's $30 to come in and pick up your custom blend, and we can talk about that in another reading. So, like, you know, the week before, I hope this makes sense, but the week before we'll do a reading, and if you're interested in the flower remedy, we'll talk about it and figure that out, and I will make one for you, create it for you. I have the full set, so I'm able to use any of them. And I always recommend bach flower remedies to people, but I know that they're expensive. They're not really, they are expensive to buy. And I feel like because I have the set of them already and I've already made that investment, rather than send someone out and say, go buy these 7 different things or something, and it's going to cost them, you know, if they're like, I think they're like $10 a bottle. So if you're buying 7, that's 70. It's like, I'd rather, you know, like, give them the experience of the flower remedies, and then if they like them, obviously you can go and buy them themselves or whatever you want, but you know, you don't have to like put that into it so much. So that is going to be available in, it's going to be available in the Etsy shop, and then it's also going to be available at the Four of Wands as a service. And then the other thing that I want to talk about real quick is that I also do animal readings and animal healing at the shop as well. I need to get my energy healing work up in Etsy again, because everything right now is more reading focused, so I need to get that up and going in there, but I do offer it in person, so I've had lots of really good feedback on my animal readings, and I've always been an animal magnet. Wherever I go, animals just kind of end up on me, which I always love, and I was so grateful that they feel, you know, good with me and all of that kind of thing. And I'm able to read them in the same way, read for them basically in the same way that I do for humans. I use cards as well, and figure out what's going on with them, and then if they need some kind of energy work, energy healing for something, then I can also offer that. But I do offer that in the Four of Wands, so it's the same times and days, Friday and Saturday. If you're interested in that, please do let me know. I've had really great feedback from that especially helping animals that have, they're anxious, they have stress issues, they have anxiety, that kind of thing. Animals are really sensitive, and they can be really sensitive to change. So if something changes, like you move house, you lose a pet, you gain a new pet, you know, something like that, something happens in the family, then our pets do tend to pick up on it, and sometimes it can create this kind of residual thing that we start having an issue with. And so a reading can help to pinpoint exactly how they're feeling, what's going on, what they're thinking, and what they need, and then I can help by giving suggestions on what to do about that. So I've had really good feedback from that, from people saying that their pets are a lot happier, they're a lot calmer, not struggling as much, you know, not crying as much, things like that. Just feeling a lot better in general. So I'm really glad to be able to offer that and give that service. But yeah, so I've talked for like 20 minutes already. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the ad break, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk about today's topic, which is the extremely often asked topic of, I've got it in my notes, is tarot dangerous? Within that, is tarot dangerous? Is it evil, sinful, black magic? Is it from the devil? Can it open a portal? Can it bring spirits? Can it curse you? Can it bring you bad luck? All of those things, because that is so common to see people ask that and also be afraid of that. So I want to explain to you my thoughts on that, and then a few things that you can do to help with that. Okay, so be back in a minute.
Thank you.
today we are talking about, or trying to answer the question, give insight into, is tarot dangerous? So, there are so many different iterations of the way people ask this question and the fears that people have around this, and I really want to help to, you know, hopefully help dispel that and explain what I think and why I think that, why I think what I do. So you can probably gather from the fact that we're 23 episodes into a spirituality podcast that is largely based around tarot, that I do not believe that tarot is dangerous. Otherwise I wouldn't do it. I don't believe it's dangerous, I don't believe it's bad, I don't believe it's evil, any of that kind of thing. But lots of people are really scared of this, and I don't want to approach it in a way of saying that's silly, you know, because I get why people are scared of this. There is a lot of fear mongering around it. There is a lot of misinformation about it, and there is a lot of like controlling around it. So I think this is where a lot of that fear comes from. Is honestly, in my opinion, the reason that divination and tarot and things like that is so frowned on and so controlled is because it gives us an opportunity to connect and communicate with the divine by ourselves. And so a lot of different systems and a lot of different religions and things like that really don't like that idea. They don't like it, they don't encourage it, because if you don't need that system in order to have connection with the divine, if you don't need to go to that place of worship and do that amount of time and do all of this stuff, if you don't need to do it, then why, you know, I think the thought is, well, why would you? Like, those people aren't gonna do that, and then we're gonna, you know, lose control, we're gonna lose power, we're gonna lose money, all of that kind of thing. So it is much more beneficial to keep people afraid and keep people believing that they can't just, you know, call God up and say, hey, like, what's going on, you know, or like, hey, I need to talk to you or whatever. Like, and there's, and when I say God, I mean that broadly, and I'm not just talking about one particular viewpoint, and I'm not just talking about one religion or anything. They're all different, multiple different, you know, ways of looking at things that have this element of control and have this element of divination is bad, this is bad, this, don't do this, this is evil. You know, I'm not honing in on one group, I'm not honing in on one person. So if I just say, if I say God, I really am talking about that in like the broad sense of spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, you know. So honestly, I think that's what it is. I think that's where a lot of that fear-mongering comes from. And as such, I think it's purposeful. I don't think it's an accident that there's a lot of fear around that. Because, you know, if we can create fear around having that direct connection with Source or that direct connection with the universe and with God and with Spirit, if we can have that connection and feel like we can communicate and talk to Spirit and talk to God and have that, then yeah, we're less likely to let someone else tell us the way that it is and dictate to us or like suggest and tell us like, this is what you have to do, and if you do it this way you're good, and if you do it this way you're bad and you'll be punished. And it's like, it's all very controlling. And so I think that's why a lot of that fear is there and that control is there. And how do you control someone? You tell them, this is the right way, this is the good way to do something, and this is the bad way, this is going to get you in trouble, this is going to, you know, send you to hell where you're going to be in pain, this is going to be, you make them, scared, you make them afraid of it, you know. That's the easiest way to control something, is make it not desirable at all. And so I think that's where a lot of that fear comes from. Is it's not an accident that it's there, you know, that it's encouraged. But I'm not saying that to say, you know, I don't want someone to feel bad if they feel scared too, because it's really built in deeply to a lot of ways of looking at things, that it's not, you know, it's not like someone standing up in this particular place and going, tarot cards are bad. It's just this like built up cultural kind of social thing, and then also the, if it ever does come up, then it does get reinforced, but there's like all of this stuff built up. And I think that's the thing with society, is it's very rarely just one person or even one place saying, hey, this is bad, and that's why someone thinks that. It's a real built up social cultural thing that has to be broken out of. And if it's there to control in some way, then you're not, no one's kind of rooting for you to break out of it, or at least the systems that create that control aren't rooting for that, you know? So does that make sense? But yeah, I really truly do not think that tarot is dangerous. I really don't think that it is. I think that tarot is completely safe. Having said that, I do want to get into the like nitty-gritty of different things and kind of talk about these different concepts and come at it from different perspectives. I don't think it's really possible for me not to be biased, considering that this is what I do for a living. But I do want to say that genuinely, from my heart, I would not do something, and especially I would not do something that involves someone else. So I would not bring someone else into a reading and read for them, read for you, if I at all believed or thought or had anything to suggest that it was bad, that it was dangerous, that it was evil, I was going to get someone in trouble. Like, I would not do it. I would not, for one, I wouldn't put myself on the line like that, but I would not put someone else on the line like that. I would not bring someone into something that I thought was going to be harmful or scary or, you know, in, I wouldn't do it. So I mean it from my heart, what I say here. I really believe that it is completely safe. It is not dangerous. I honestly wouldn't do it if I thought that it was. So where do these ideas come from? We've already kind of talked about that a little bit. There's different things and different, you know, ways of looking at things and different paths and things that kind of say that divination is dangerous, you shouldn't do this, you know, you're gonna invoke something, you're gonna bring something through, etc., etc. I know there's some lines in the Bible that suggest that divination is bad or something, but I'm pretty sure I was talking to someone and they were saying that there's also lines in the Bible that basically are divination. So it's just really mixed up. I think a lot of it comes just from like the different, it's written at different times. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't understand enough about Christianity and enough about the Bible to feel confident saying it. I haven't even read the passages that apparently say divination is bad, because honestly, I'm not interested. I don't believe that. I think it was a man-made thing to say that that's true. Like, I don't believe that it's true, so I don't really see the point in reading it. But I do want to be transparent there that I have not read it. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that passage is. I've just heard from other people tell me that it's there and all of this kind of thing. So there's a lot of this built-up kind of idea that, yeah, that it's... I think that's the main thing, right? Like, it brings bad spirits through, or it's somehow like dangerous in that you're gonna get, I don't even know what it is. What is it? You're gonna be possessed? Like, I don't know. Like, there's just that kind of thing. And I think that's why people think that it's dangerous. And then also the thing about it being evil and sinful and of the devil and all of that kind of thing. Again, I think that's just that fear thing, because if we can make it be evil and it's to do with the devil and it's sinful, and if you do it, you're going to go to hell, you're going to suffer. They obviously, the equation there is, I do this thing, I am punished, you know, in some views, I'm going to go to hell forever and be punished forever. Why wouldn't someone be afraid of that, you know? If that's your belief, if that's part of your belief system, then yeah, I absolutely understand why that is absolutely terrifying. Because when I was younger, I went through this period, and I don't even remember why. I think I'd watched something and it just got in my head, and I was so scared of hell. Like, it was this just such a scary, terrifying concept to me. And even now thinking about it, it's scary, but I don't believe in it. So it's like, you know, it's different now. But like, there was a time when I was so scared of that. And I can understand why someone would, if they think that something is going to put them in that place and they believe that that is real, then yeah, I completely get why that's so scary. But I don't think it's true. So for one, I don't really want to get into the whole, you know, theological argument of it, but my concept of the ideas of evil and sin and all of that kind of thing are not, I don't prescribe to like a religious view of that at all. And I would say even, I think within the spiritual community, my views of things like sin and what happens after we die and the ideas of punishment and things like that are very different than a lot of people believe as well. And maybe at some point I'll get into that, but I don't really want to get into it today. needless to say, it is different than quite a lot of people that I've heard. But in my own view, and from everything I've ever experienced and everyone I've ever talked to that reads tarot, there's nothing like that going on. It's not evil. You're not communicating with something bad. It's not, to me, when you read tarot, you are literally talking to the universe. It's like talking to God, and God is helping you. And that is not evil. That's not bad. It's just a way to communicate with us and to show something in like a linear way. So I find that tarot is great as a communication tool with the divine, with God, with, you know, the universe, because it enables us to bring through a communication which we can then put into like linear time or linear sequence of events. So you lay the cards out, you see a story being told, you see the pictures, and it makes sense to our human brain. So I think when we have that communication with spirit or with God or with the divine universe, whatever you want to call it, it is not human, right? Because it's so much bigger than just human, and it's like pure source. It's like if you touched electricity or something, like if you touch pure matter, like energy even, it's so hard to even like fathom as a human mind, like trying to understand that. And I think we can understand spirit and God from our heart and our soul, and we can feel it, at least in my experience, we can feel it inside, but it is so hard to explain it. And so I think trying to explain communication with spirit, communication with God, you know, whatever you want to call it, in like words or trying to get it across in some way is really difficult. And so tarot is just such a good tool for that, because it says like, look, here's this image and here's the message that goes with that. And through that image and through that message, through that particular card, I'm able to communicate to you something to help you. You know, like if you ask a question, for example, I feel really stuck right now. What do I need to do? And you draw the Hanged Man. Then to me, that is like the universe is able to say through that image and through that the built up meaning of that card and the history and the story and all of that, it's able to say, just let go. You're in a period of waiting right now. You're seeing something from a new perspective. You're sacrificing something, but you're gaining wisdom. So, you know, maybe you don't have to do anything. That's the thing with the Hangman. This is not about doing something about it. It's about letting it happen. And so the universe is able to communicate that with us when, if we didn't have the cards, it might be really difficult for us to be able to solidify in our mind exactly what the universe is trying to show us. Does that make sense? Like, it helps to clarify. Like, that's the big thing with tarot to me, is that it is clarifying. And so I really find that is what tarot does. It's like the universe is able to talk to us. And as such, I can't believe that that is evil. I cannot believe that that is a sin, or that that is, you know, like devilish or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel that way to me at all. It feels sacred. It feels amazing. Like, you're getting to talk to the person, the being who loves you unconditionally more than you could possibly even fathom. Like, they completely accept you. They completely love you. And no matter what is happening, they love you just intrinsically. Like, that to me just does, there's no way that it's incompatible with the idea of evil. So I really don't think that that's the case. Another thing with tarot, is it, okay, so some notes that I've got written down here. Is it black magic? Is it, can it bring spirits through? Can it be a portal, bring bad luck? Can it curse you, etc.? Now here's the thing. Can it do something like that? Like, could it potentially do something like bring, you know, bad energy to you or something? Yeah, I think it could potentially do that, but that's nothing to do with the cards. That's nothing to do with the actual medium of tarot. It's not to do with the tool. Because, and this bothers some people sometimes when I say this, because I think they're like clutching pearls a little bit, but tarot and oracle and divination, runes, whatever, it's all just pieces of paper. It's pieces of paper, pieces of wood, stone, whatever it is. It's just matter. It's just paper with pictures on it. The tool is, it's a tool. That's exactly what it is. It is, it's not, I don't think that a deck in and of itself is imbued with this like magical power. I think it's like buying a phone and having that as a connection. Now, that is not to say that it isn't beautiful or it isn't very special to us and sacred to us, but I think that's because of our connection with it. That's because of what it becomes to us. It becomes that phone line to spirit. It becomes that phone line to God, and it is very special to us and dear to us. But that's our connection to it. That's our feelings for it. That's our relationship for it. And I think it's interesting because I do think different decks have a different personality, and they also have different personalities slightly, I think, depending on who they're working with. You know, like, I found this myself making decks. My decks have a personality of their own that is in some way similar to some aspects of my personality, but is also very much different. I think my decks are sassier than me, possibly. My wife might disagree with that. But it's very, like, to the point and very, like, yeah, like, sass, you know? And it's like they have their own personality. And I've heard that from multiple people that don't know each other. So they do have personalities, and I think that's built up of the energy that went into creating them, the intention, the artwork, how they read, you know, all of that kind of thing does make a personality. But I don't think it's still a tool. It's a tool created with intention to foster a certain connection, you know, with the divine. Just like a phone is made to be used to connect with the divine, and it's made to do that in a certain way, or it's made to facilitate us in certain things. You know, I think decks and tools are exactly the same. I don't think they intrinsically have an energy to them that is yeah, like a bad energy, or can bring bad luck or be a curse or something. Like, I don't really understand that. Like, if you go and buy a brand new deck, I don't really understand how it would have that energy to it, you know. Having said that, I do think that, and here's the thing, because it's a tool, it just reacts to the energy that we have. So if you are using tarot and you are trying to connect with, you know, something bad, like you're out there looking for a bad spirit or something, then could it bring through a bad spirit? Yeah, probably. Like, because you're trying to, you know. It's like if you go and call someone who you find your number for someone, you're like, this is a bad person. I wonder what they're going to say. And then you call them, like, you're going to get connected to them, you know. But that's not the tarot's fault. It's not the tool's intention, because the tool doesn't intend anything. It's just a way for us to do something. So if you go out there and you're trying to connect to something that you know is not good, or you're, you know, inviting it to come through or whatever, it's exactly the same as a Ouija board, then yeah, it could do that, I think. But that is not because of the cards. That is because of the intention that you put into them. Same for, you know, finger quotes, black magic. I really hate that term. But could you use tarot to do harmful magic? Yeah, I think you probably could. Because you can use tarot to focus spell work. You can use tarot and spell work. You can use it to, you know, focus healing. You can use it for all those kind of things as some kind of way to facilitate a channel. And so if you were trying actively to do harmful magic to someone, or to do something harmful and hurt someone or whatever it is, could you do it? Yeah, I think you probably could. But again, that's not because of the tool. That is your intention for it. Curses. So, can they curse you? I don't really think so. So, here's the thing. You can buy, and I think this is why people don't buy secondhand decks a lot. If you buy someone's deck that they've already used, it might have a certain energy attached to it, depending on what that person used it for. And so you can cleanse it. You can clear that energy. And some people won't buy secondhand decks at all. There's a big thing in tarot where it's like, no, don't do that. It's bad. Like, it's, yeah, bad things are going to happen. But that's just going into that fear again. I have bought multiple secondhand decks, never had an issue. The one time I had an issue with a deck, it was literally one card that was actually just like a title card, and we sorted it out and cleared it and cleansed it, and then we never had an issue with it again. So that's the one time that's ever happened, I think, in my memory. So, hey, quit it. The cats are just like messing around, aggressively playing. But anyway, yeah, it's really, I don't have an issue with it. I don't mind buying secondhand decks at all. And I have sold multiple decks and I always send them out, you know, cleared and wanting the person to have the best experience with them. I've never heard anyone say that they had an issue with the deck that they bought from me secondhand. That's not my decks. All my own decks that I send out are firsthand. But I do buy decks and then pass them on, sell them, trade them, whatever, if I don't connect with them anymore. Of like my own, you know, different, not my own decks that I make, decks that I buy. If that makes sense. And so I've never heard anyone have an issue with that. You can clear cards, you can clear tools. I've never had anything that I couldn't clear of any energy that was on it. I am not one of those people that clears my cards constantly. Some people do, they like clear it after every reading, or they, you know, do special cleansing things with it more frequently, and I just don't do that. I don't really feel the need to do it. So the only thing that I do is that when I'm reading for multiple people in a row, I put my cards on a selenite plate in between the readings to clear the energy, and that's more kind of, like I said, from picking up energy from either me or other people, and that potentially influencing the reading. But that is not because the cards themselves have anything inherently dangerous to them, or anything bad to them. The portal thing. Okay, I'm going to admit something right now. I have no idea what a portal is. I have heard this phrase bandied about a lot. And like, oh, that's a portal, that's a portal, that's going to open a portal. And every time I've asked someone or tried to understand what when you say that, what do you mean? What is a portal? They actually can't explain it to me. So I'm not going to say that portals, whatever they are, don't exist, but just that I don't know what that means. And I've never had an experience with that being especially not tarot related. Like, they don't open a door to somewhere or something. yeah, I've never experienced that. I've been in places that there was like a lot of spirit activity, or there was certain places that I could feel like spirits came through there a lot, and I don't know if that's what people mean when they say a portal or whatever, but not with tarot in my experience. So did I get everything? I think I did. So to cap that off, tarot cards, are they safe? I think they are safe because they're a tool, they're a medium to communicate through, like a phone with the divine, to make messages clearer and more linear for us to understand them. Are they dangerous? Inherently, no. Can they carry energy with them? Yes, because people put that energy on them. Can you do, you know, magic with them? That can you, you know, can those things happen? Yes, you could use them for that, but that would have to be with intent. And the same would go for like a card, like people saying, oh, cards, can they curse you? Can they bring you bad luck? All of that kind of thing. No, I don't think so, because someone would have to be using a card to do something to you. You know, like, you, I don't think, like, I can't really think, unless someone got a deck and like they purposefully put a spell on it or something and then gave it to you, or they purposefully used your deck to do something to you or something. Like, I can't think how else that you would get like bad luck or bad energy through that. And otherwise, it would be someone using their own deck to do that to you, and then you can just use protection for that, you know, protect yourself, protect your energy, call on your guides to protect you, and all of that kind of thing. So moving on now to how I would suggest to feel safe, to stay safe with tarot. Like I said, I think it's inherently safe. I don't really think you have to do things to be safe with it, because I think you already are. But what I like to do, and I will do this for clients sometimes if they feel nervous about this, is specifically call on who you want to communicate with through the cards. So if you're saying, you know, I'm communicating with my higher self, my soul, for my greatest good, for the greatest good of all, I'm communicating with God, I'm communicating with the universe, I'm communicating with love, I'm, you know, only my guides may come through, only God may come through, only the angels may come through, anything else is going to be pushed away, only what is for my highest good and the highest good of all may come through. Like, those kinds of things really set your boundaries of like what is allowed and what isn't allowed, and that keeps you safe. So then you know going into it that communication is safe. Because I think sometimes if someone's afraid and they go into a reading, what stops them from having a good reading isn't that something's actually going on with the cards. It's their fear. Like, they don't know, you know, if they're afraid that they're communicating with something bad or something like that, then they're not going to be open, obviously, to the reading, because they're afraid of it and they're afraid of the energy. So setting that precedent of like, this is who's allowed, this is what's allowed, you know, whatever you want to, however you want to think of it, that's what I would suggest. Doing that for yourself, if that makes you feel better for yourself, or doing it for a client, if you have a client who is a bit nervous about it or something like that. Yeah, I think, what else is there?
Oh, goodness me.
Yawning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, good. Oh, he's so cute. Little kitty. Yeah, keeping it, like I said before, I use a selenite plate to put my cards on. You can do different, you can use smoke clearing, you know, use sage or use incense to clear them. Pass it through the incense smoke and just say a little prayer for it, or a little, you know, whatever you want to do, like clear the energy from it. I don't think a huge amount is really necessary, but hopefully that helps. Maybe keeping them in a special place, keep them in a special bag, keep them in a special box, you know, something that makes you feel that they are safe, that they're protected. Really, I think energy that comes onto cards is the energy that we imbue them with. It's what we believe about them. It's what we think about them. I do want to say, with tarot, I think sometimes people see the cards that are the challenging cards, or they look kind of scary or whatever. You know, the traditional ones in the Major Arcana is like the Devil, Death, and the Tower. So people see those cards and they get, and they look intense, or they deal with intense energy. You know, all the minors, you could get like the Five of Pentacles, the Ten of Swords, the Eight of Swords, the Three of Swords. People see those and they look scary, or they might be dealing with something that's intense or sad, or, you know, something like that, and they think that it's bad because it looks intense. But they are just part of a story. That is part of human experience, part of a human story. You know, sometimes humans are sad, sometimes they experience heartbreak, they experience, you know, feeling defeated, they experience sudden chaotic change, they are afraid, they are stuck in a cycle and looking for a way out, they are transforming, you know, all of those things. And so that's what those cards deal with. They're not there to scare you, they're not there to be frightening, they're there to help. Just like, I think, you know, if humans, as humans, we have these challenging experiences. If you didn't have the cards that reflect that, it would be more difficult for the divine, the universe, God, whatever, spirit, to communicate to you how to get out of those situations. It's like, if you don't look at something, how can you understand, or, you know, if you don't, like, allow yourself to see what's there, how can you understand fully how to remedy that or how to resolve it? You know, it's like being shown that pain is like, yes, I acknowledge that you are suffering or you're struggling, you're in pain, and I'm going to help you with that. And more than just a bright and fluffy and happy all the time reading, you know, sometimes there's reading lists like that and it's great. But I have found that people, even if they pull those hard cards, when you just address it and say, it looks like you have had a lot of pain here, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that you struggle with this, or you've been sad, or maybe you feel sad right now. You know, whatever it is, that then the person afterwards like takes a deep breath and a sigh of relief, and they say, yeah, I've been waiting for someone to see that about me. I've been waiting for someone to understand that. People do not want to just hide their sadness or their pain and not ever acknowledge it. There is such healing and catharsis in acknowledging that with someone and saying, I see you, like, I experience you, and I can understand that this is what you're going through, you know, like, that is a sacred part of that reading experience with someone, is to be able to help them with those times. So, you know, don't get scared because there's certain cards that look scary. It's part of human experience that sometimes we experience those things and those feelings, or those, you know, whatever, we experience that, and so it's reflected in the cards so that we can resolve it and move through it, or heal it, or understand it, or whatever it is. So I hope that that's helpful and useful for you. This is a topic that I've been wanting to tackle for a while. I don't know why I haven't before, but I guess today was just the right day for it. But just to do a quick little plug again, I am reading at the Four of Wands every Friday and Saturday. Friday is 11 a.m. to around 5:30, and then Saturday is 10:30 a.m. to about 4:30 p.m. And then I also have the Etsy shop, which is the sacredcocoon.etsy.com. You can book readings through that, so you can buy my decks through that. Please do check out those new offerings that I have, and keep an eye out for some new offerings also coming up. Last thing, my tarot class. There are 3 spaces left in the tarot class. It begins January 11th, and it will be every Saturday for those next 6 weeks. So between January 11th and February 15th, it will be every Saturday between 5 and 6:30 p.m. at the Four of Wands. There's 9 spaces, and 6 are already filled, so there's 3 spaces left. If you book throughout December, it's $122 for all 6 classes. And then starting in January, if there's any spaces left, there will be 132 for all six, or you'll be able to I think at that point, if there's any space left, buy individual classes. But it is intuitive tarot. We are going to be combining and looking at the Rider Waite Smith tradition with reading tarot intuitively and how to do that. It's going to be super fun. I already know some of the folks that are coming into the class and I love them. So it's super, super fun, really inviting, really welcoming, different, levels of experience. Everyone is welcome. And we're going to have so much fun. So I really hope to see you there. You can purchase those tickets on thefouroftheofwands.com. Or at the register at the Four of Wands, if you just ask them about the intuitive tarot class or the class with Lottie or Charlotte, they will hook you up. All right, so I am sending you so much love from my heart to yours. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye now.